So, welcome back, everyone. So, I'll just say a few closing remarks and then really open the space up to hear from you. I'd really like to start by expressing my deep gratitude for the sincerity and the heartfulness of your practice over the last few days. It's been humbling and inspiring to see such dedication and commitment in the midst of what are very challenging life circumstances for many of you. So, thank you for your practice. And I'd also like to thank Jackie for so wonderfully taking care of the tech side of things. It's really made things certainly much easier on my side as well. So, thank you, Jackie. So, one of the things really that's, I think, touched me this weekend has been how having this space that actually allows people who have similar life circumstances can seem so supportive. And I think the UK is quite behind the States in actually opening up these spaces. In the States, they have what they term affinity groups for people of color. They are for the LGBTQ plus community, but also ever more so for those dealing with chronic illness and disability. And I think my sense is there's more of a movement on that now in the UK. There's certainly some movement on the LGBTQ plus side of things, and hopefully there'll start to be more movement in creating these spaces for those who are also dealing with chronic illness and disability, neurodivergence and such. And I've asked Andrew, who's the coordinator at Gaia House, to put on the notice board two articles actually Tilly shared with Gaia House and was shared with me around this. One is from Cambridge Insight and their affinity group for people with chronic illness and disability. And another one is about apps and the availability of actually guided meditations that meet the needs of those who are working with chronic illness and disability. And there are a few names in that actually may be of interest to some of you to look at and see if there's anything that might support you in your practice. So, yes, going forward, really, I think there's something about Sangha. And there's Sangha not as something that, if you like, separates, but Sangha that supports within the larger Sangha. So this idea of affinity groups is very much held within the larger Sangha, but also recognizes that actually people who are dealing with certain similar life circumstances are very much well supported when they can meet together in a way that actually speaks to their situation more. So, yes, part of that really, it also comes from people like yourselves reaching out to Gaia House and asking for these spaces, really. You know, these spaces are going to be provided in response to actually you saying, this is what we need. So my invitation there is for you to actually, in whatever way feels suitable to you, to make that known to Gaia House so that these spaces can be opened up more and more. I know there is a Living with Illness and Loss online retreat at some point next year, and my understanding is that Andrew, if you know, the response to this is positive, would like to create the opportunity for this retreat again at some point next year. So, Yeah. But what I will do when I open up really is I know some of you already have some online connections of Sangha as well, and really invite your wisdom in terms of what actually supports practice. So, two other things I'd just like to say is for me, if anything that I would see as a takeaway from this retreat would be around the attitude we meet our experience with. And I hope you've started to kind of have some sense of how the attitude we bring, whether we meet our experience with welcoming and kindness, or we meet it with rejection and aversion, how that shapes our experience. It doesn't necessarily change what's actually we're having to deal with, but it actually does change our experience of it. So my encouragement is really to, cultivate that attitude of kind, welcoming, caring, interest in your experience. It certainly, in my experience, is what makes one of the deepest impacts in terms of life. The other thing I would say is practice, even when things are fairly smooth in our lives, can be difficult to maintain. And one of the things I found very helpful in keeping a practice going forward is actually having something that I'm interested in. So this is part of what I was trying to give voice to in the breakout group. If there's something that feels very alive, some aspect of experience, some quality of heart that feels like we have some interest in exploring, then it can give a certain impetus to our practice. It gives more life to our practice. I think all of us will have experienced times when practice feels more like a chore, something we're kind of hanging on to by a thread. So my invitation or my guidance with that would be about actually finding those threads of practice that just feel like there's a sense of some aliveness in it, some sense of it actually has an interest of exploration for you, whether that's developing a quality of the heart, and it's not that we have to set this up for life. We might think, all right, for the next month, what I'll do is I'll actually incline my mind towards cultivating joy and towards actually noticing those moments of peace, of ease, of lightness, and that simplicity of joy that we can have, making that more prominent. Or it might be actually this quality of exploring something like how we build experience, like I was talking about last night. That might feel quite alive for us. How that sense of when I react, this is what happens. When I'm able to pause and bring in a quality of the heart that meets my situation, this is how my experience unfolds. So just really finding that aliveness in your practice as a way of bringing a certain energy to the practice. And that can really support it going forward. So what I'd like to do now is open the space up to you to share your wisdom about what supports practice. Maybe you have particular online sangha you're a member of that may be open to others that can actually support. Maybe you have some teachers you've come across that really talk to this aspect. They might have something up on YouTube or on Dharma Seed that might be of interest to others. Or it may be actually some books that you've come across. I know Tara Brach has written quite a lot around this. You may have other people that have really spoken to you around this meeting illness and disability, neurodivergence in our lives. Something I think we can all appreciate, both of each other, but in ourselves, that actually we turned up, we met ourselves, even at times though it might not have been easy. And really to, deeply feel that in the heart, the good-heartedness and the beauty of showing up and that mutual care and support that arises from that. So thank you all. So it's almost 12:05. So what I'd like to invite is just 2 or 3 minutes again, and just settling back into some stillness, just to allow the sharing, the how it's touched our hearts, to just to really be felt into and allowed to settle. May we all meet our lives with kindness and compassion. May we rest in peace and well-being in the midst of our lives. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be at peace. Thank you for your practice. I wish you well going forward. And that, yes, you find peace and ease in the midst of whatever life brings forward. Go well, and what I'd like to do is invite you to unmute and say goodbye to each other. Express any sense of appreciation and gratitude. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much.
Peace.
So good to be with you.
Thank you for including me from so far away.